Hey everyone, we're back with another episode of Discussions with Dre. It's episode 6. I'm with a special artist today. He's from Winnipeg, Manitoba. He's currently in Toronto right now, probably working on his new album. Peter Takis, how you doing, man?
What's going on, man? You reached out in like June or July, and I'm glad we scheduled it for right now. It's good to talk to you, man.
It's good, man. We've talked a lot over Twitter over the years, probably Instagram. I just sent you my rough draft stuff, and you always give opinions back on it, so I appreciate you doing that. You're always been real, man. I really appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, it's cool that you're shifting into having these conversations. Podcasting is, people want to know about the person behind the song. You know, you have a 3-minute record, that's cool. You have some cool Instagram photos, that's cool. Maybe a cool tweet, but it's much more important to have a 40-minute, 60-minute conversation and actually get to know the person. You could like my song, but I'd rather you appreciate my story too, you know? So it's
exactly
cool that you're doing this and giving a bunch of local artists opportunity to explain their backstory and if they have a cool backstory, you know?
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. That's what I find I like the most about the artists I mess with is them. So this is like a good time to, you know, show people who you are, and I love doing it. So first off, I mean, like I sat down preparing, like, where have you been the last couple of years? You know, I'm just thinking about that. Where have you been?
Yeah, I mean, well, right now I'm in Toronto. That was a very recent change. COVID kind of changed the vibe out in LA. There's not a lot of songwriting opportunities. There's not a lot of labels that are open. Half of my management team moved back to Canada, so it was time to come back. But for the most part, I was just in LA working on this album, minding my own business, trying to stay out of the way and keep it private until the package was ready. You know, this is the first time, like when I was younger and I'm making music, I kind of fell into that trap of, I'm in the studio with a cool person, let me like Instagram it, or yo, I'm with this guy, I need to post a picture so everyone knows I'm with this guy. But this was the first time I was like, you know what, I'm in the studio with this guy, it's cool, but I think people need to hear the final product. They need to see the song when it's ready, the video when it's ready. They don't need to know 6 months prior that I was in the studio with a cool person. That does nothing for you, you know?
And it kind of ruins the element of surprise sometimes too, right?
Of course, man. Like I was gone for like 2 years from the internet, and I just came back and like dropped the cover art, and I'm like, all right, album's on the way, here's the first single. And that got a lot of people excited, and that was kind of the mission, man, the element of surprise and to get excited about a record versus, hey, I'm in the studio with this guy a year ago. Hey, I'm shooting the video 6 months ago. Hey guys, this song's coming out in 4 months.
Yeah.
In 30 days, and you're doing like a 30-day countdown. It's like, you know, drop the music.
People exactly. Yeah.
You don't need to know every behind the scenes boring thing that goes on in the biz, you know?
I totally feel like that. There's definitely oversharing now, and it's a clout's a currency, right? So it's like it's one of those things like, oh, how much more clout can I get before this record comes out? I totally feel you on that. Yeah, like the Kendricks, the Drakes, everyone who's big doesn't really overshare. This was a mystery. So I respect that. I applaud you on that, man. That's pretty great.
And like that kind of sounds cool, but there's something very real about being reserved from promo or social media, where algorithms are going to penalize you. If you're posting once a week, or if you dip for 2 years, those social media algorithms are not going to be your friend.
Yeah.
People forget about you. I'm going to lose fans that do want those updates every day, that want 10 stories a day. And that's okay. You just got to decide what type of artist you want to be, what type of private life matters to you. I mean, it would probably be a little more lucrative if I was all over that, but that's just not the life I'm trying to build at the age of 25. You know, I want to have a private life first. I want to have a team that I really care about in private. Mm-hmm. And I want to be known for the records. I want to be known for my on-court performance, not my off-court performance. You know,
exactly.
I watched the Last Dance documentary like 3 times in a row, the Michael Jordan documentary on Netflix. And he's just on court. Performance was everything. He didn't want to talk in these media junkets. He didn't want to have the one-liner. He was like, I'm just gonna win.
Yeah, if it wasn't ball, it was nothing, you know what I mean? Like,
and for like my music, look, when it's time, like From the Start is out right now, I had 4 interviews yesterday, I have 5 today, I have 3 radio call-ins tomorrow morning. When it's time to promote a song I'm proud of, let's go. I'm going all in. This is my record. I worked months on it. This is it. I think it's a hit. It's an important record. But when it's not about something I'm proud of, like, I'm not just going to be, you know, tweeting all day. Like, who cares about, like, my hot take on, you know, what happened on Twitter yesterday? They care about, hopefully, the 3-minute song I just put out versus you know, an Instagram story, which I'm just not interested in right now.
Yeah. And I don't blame you for that, because everything's oversaturated in that aspect, I guess. And that tweet, no one remembers that tweet, but people remember that song.
Of course.
Exactly. So
that's it right there.
I love the song, by the way, from the start. It's great. I never heard of Veronica before, but wow. Wow, is she talented. Yeah,
Veronica is just an incredibly talented Canadian songwriter. She's done some really big records in like pop music and dance music. If you listen to Top 40 Radio in Canada, you will hear her voice just about every 2 hours on a different record for the past few years. And I'm thankful that I got to make a really cool record with her, second record off the album. And I think it's special. And the reaction has been really great so far.
Yeah, it sounds like a special record. And the production is clean, crisp. God, I loved it, man. I was sitting there just like, oh, okay. It kind of got, I was in a kind of a bummer mood, and I was like, oh shit, I'm actually ready to start my day and do things now.
So that's the goal with every record.
So back to, I guess, when you're working on it, the album in LA for the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, it's been literally 2 years straight working on this album. I feel like I've made 100 records, and it down to 10 is, you know, we're still not sure what 10 it's going to be, but I've been working really hard on it, trying to create a real body of work. And there's this, like, you hear this all the time, and I'm not trying to like hit you with like a one-liner, but
yeah,
an artist's debut album, it almost takes your entire life to make that first album. Like, I'm 25, I put out a lot of singles that have done really well, I've done a lot of cool shows, I've put out some remixes that mattered, but putting out a body of work, that's like, I'm telling my story of 25 years. I'm putting my entire story into a 10 song project. So I didn't take it like lightly. Like, your debut album, you only get one debut album. So I'm not, you know, filling it with a bunch of pop singles. I'm trying to tell a real story and time it properly. And even right down to like the packaging of it, like the album's called Welcome Home, right down to the merch, the visuals, all the cover arts. Like, I have interludes, I have outros. I'm taking the body of work very seriously. It's not just a compilation of a bunch of hot singles, right?
And exactly. Yeah, you've been sitting there for 2 years doing it, so you must have been taking it very seriously. And that's important, to sit down and let things breathe, let records breathe and see how they age over time. Go back to Welcome Home. So it's called Welcome Home. Can you give me like a little insight why it's called Welcome Home, or would that spoil anything?
Well, no. This is like I said, like, it took 25 years to. Be able to put out a debut album. This is the story of, you know, growing up. This is the story of, whether it's all the way back to childhood or whether it's back to our hometown, Winnipeg, Manitoba, the come up, the pain of coming up, the nostalgia of, you know, missing Winnipeg. I haven't lived in Winnipeg now in 5 years,
That's 4 years.
So there's a natural nostalgia. Like, I want to go back. And even like a song like Wait For Me is a very interesting record. I'm very proud of doing it with Goody Grace, but that story is me having to leave, having to go to Toronto, having to go to LA, having to go to Vegas and try to make something of myself. But in the back of your head, when you're gone, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care how cool you think you are. In the back of your head, you're like, I kind of hope like they don't forget about me. Like, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
That would be for me. Like, I'm thinking like, yo, that girl from 5 years ago, like, I got to make some of myself. I got to do all these things. I can't be home right now, but don't like move on. Don't forget about me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so like that's the story of Welcome Home. Me being insecure and concerned that just because I'm moving around and I'm building relationships across the U.S., in the back of my head, every time I go to sleep, I hope my hometown still cares. I hope they're still excited when I put out a song. I hope eventually when I come back and do a show, it matters to some people. And I hope there's 18, 19-year-old artists coming up that can look at someone like me and someone like Goody and still get inspired. And they haven't, you know, I'm not too far removed. So yes, it's a story of growing up. It's a story of where I'm at right now. It took 25 years to get here, and I'm trying to recap it. And Wait For Me is, you know, is a story of, please don't forget about me, guys.
Yeah, man. You know what? And I'll relay a message back to you, because we were sitting in the studio one night. We're like, where's Peter Takis? And trust me, we didn't forget about you. Like, we want to hear some shit. And we're finally hearing it. And we're happy you're back.
Oh, man.
So back to, I guess, wait for me, some insecurities in that record, right? Some vulnerability. Did it affect your mental health on being on the road, going to say you went to Mexico, you went to Vegas, you did all these big shows back in a couple of years ago, right? Did it affect your mental health? Did you have to work on that?
Oh, of course. Where we come from, you know, building from literally zero.
Yeah.
Shows for 10 people that don't care, to putting out songs where literally no one cares, to being able to play these big shows, big festivals, meet your idols, be in the studio with some of your idols.
Crazy.
That was awesome, but there's a lot of pressure to that, man. And there's a lot of, when you're moving really fast, mm-hmm. you need to slow down, not to rest. You need to slow down to make sure you're going in the right direction. And yeah. just because you're busy and you're moving fast doesn't mean, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm doing a show every weekend, just because I'm putting out songs, just because I have a record deal, doesn't, like, I'm moving fast, but am I moving in the right direction? So I had to pause. I had to look at the people around me. I had to make decisions that, hey, I'm moving fast. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. But it's also an illusion, like, that I'm going in the right direction. I need to pause, reset, and go in the right direction. But yeah, a big part of leaving social media was obviously to focus on the album. But, you know, there were mental health concerns, man. It's not a natural transition to be that young and to have that much pressure, whether it's scheduling or having a major label, having multiple people on your management team, having agents, having people that rely on you now financially. There was a ton of pressure, and I felt like I was a little too young to handle that properly, and I had to pause, and now I think I'm very much ready for it.
Yeah, man, learning that, like, you have to, it's not even an option, especially when in the position you're in. It's not even an option to sit back and try and figure out. You have to figure it out, and you got to learn from it right away, because I'm 24, I'm a year younger than you. Like, I couldn't imagine all dealing with the labels, the managers, the people, and you're doing it well. You're doing well, man. So
try it one step at a time, man. It's one step at a time. And obviously, like, being super transparent, like, I'm here to, you know, talk to our hometown, our city, the people that care, the people that are interested. And, you know, I was very well prepared for this new run. I took a break and I said, you know what? I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the attention on social media. I'm ready for the critiques, the love, the hate, whatever it's going to be. And then, you know, first single comes out and there was like kind of a media frenzy around that record. Right. So you can tell yourself all you want that you're prepared, and I'm 25 now, I'm mature, I could handle anything. And then guess what? Some gets thrown your way and you're still learning how to adjust, still learning how to manage these things. So, you know, I would never say that I have it figured out. Every single day I'm trying to figure it out just a bit more, you know?
100%. When that, we'll talk about it, I guess. With the record that came out, you know, the Tory situation happened, unfortunately. Did that, like, when that happened, the same night that your record came out, did that kind of hit you in a weird place? Did that kind of mess with you, or did it motivate you? What happened there?
Yeah, I mean, you can prepare, you can think you've prepared for everything. You know, I remember my dad gave me some advice when I was younger. He used to say, never count your chickens until they hatch.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a lot of things that were planned, and then other things came up and it was out of my control. And obviously it was disappointing and it was very confusing. And it's when you put out a song that you're super proud of and you made it a year and a half ago, and all of a sudden TMZ is asking for quotes, it kind of takes away from this art that you made, and the whole narrative shifts. But the one thing I've been saying very honestly, I'm proud of one thing with Wait For Me. Obviously it's hit charts globally. Obviously it's streamed very well, and I'm grateful, but the number one thing I'm proud of is I did it with my friend of 10 years. I did it with a fellow Manitoban, Goody Grace,
and 100%
opens on a record with a Grammy nominated artist. And the fact that it's still hit and people loved it and millions of people have streamed it, that's what I'm proud of. I'm proud of me and Goody Grace linking up after 10 years, like it was nothing, and making an important record. So that's 100%. What I'm proud of.
As you should, man, it charted well. It sounded great. And when I first saw it come out, I was like, oh shit, this is super cool. Like, especially being from here, right? You look at that as an artist myself, I make music. A lot of people make music here. We're like, oh damn, Tack has put out this record.
That was like super important. Like, I've said, like, I've made like 100 records in the past 2 years. The first record out, I believe I have stronger records. I believe I have bigger features than Tory. I do have bigger features than Tory on this album.
Yeah.
But I put out that record first because I said, my album's called Welcome Home. It's about my hometown. Guess what? I'm going to do it with Goody Grace. I'm going to do it with a fellow Manitoban, two Manitobans linking up. That's the narrative. That's the story. That's what I'm trying to like inspire some kid in the studio right now, because, you know, there's only been what, one or two Manitobans in the past decade that have really crossed over and have had global records. And usually once you leave, you just leave.
Yeah.
I was in the position where, you know, someone else could have been on that record, but I was like, how dope would it be if two fucking Manitobans that were friends since the age of 16 that used to put out songs that sucked, that no one cared about, came together at probably the biggest point. Like, Goody's at one of the biggest points in his career. Tory was at the biggest point in his career. I was coming back, and like, we all came together on a really dope record. But yeah, until the day I die, I'm going to be proud that I put out an amazing record with a friend of 10 years, Goody Grace. And the thing is, him and I are going to keep making great records for the next 50 years.
Damn right. I love that energy. I love that hometown energy. I love that. I like that 50 years comment too. I'm making these records consistently, baby. We're making these records. I love that shit, man. I mean, and me sitting back too, it's inspiring. It really is. You know, I make music myself, and it's just inspiring just to see what you guys are doing out there. And I applaud you guys, man. Like, we're putting Winnipeg on the map. And I remember back in the day, you were on Hot 103, right? A long time ago, and you were putting on these tapes, and they were still crazy quality back then. So it's just kind of crazy to see things go full. It's 5 years later.
How many local hip hop mixtapes have I put out that no one talks about? Man, I put out like 10 of those things. I've been putting out music since I was a teenager, man. And I'm just grateful that, you know, the idea, just what you said, like, put the city on the map. That's something that I've been like learning. I remember when I was younger, like, a local artist would say, I'm put the city on the map and push their stuff to the city. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, everybody in the city knows where the city is on the map. When you're talking about putting something on the map, I'm talking about Goody and I having like the number 35 song on Spotify in Netherlands, and thousands of kids from Amsterdam, that's their favorite song. And they're like, wait, two artists from the same place? What's Manitoba?
Exactly.
That's the city on the map.
Exactly. And,
I'm just glad I'm in the position where we're having really global records. Like, the fact that Canada was like our fourth biggest market, I think, for Wait For Me is kind of cool to me. Like, that's fucking awesome. The fact that like countries around the world are gravitating to this record, it's incredible.
It must be cool looking at the numbers and being like, oh shit, they really listen to my record. What? Like, that's crazy. Like, it's nuts. It's nuts to think about.
It would have been cool if it was just me. That's one thing. But two Manitoban artists, that's what, like, man, every single day, I'm never going to take that for granted. Like, two artists from where we, and you probably remember, I don't know if you remember Goody from back in the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Him and I trolling around, putting out records that would get 100 plays and people would make fun of us and stuff. And to see his growth and like with the talent that he's cultivated and to come together, it's like, man, it was important for us.
100%. I think that's it's a funny dynamic. Like, you start off and you get made fun of, and then you keep going, and you're like, oh, I'm getting onto something. And now guess what? I'm putting out records with fucking Tory, Goody Grace, and I got all this shit going on. It's crazy, man.
That's like the barrier to entry though. I used to, when I was younger and like super immature, I used to be like, why are people making fun of me on Twitter? But that's the barrier to entry. If people aren't criticizing you, you aren't in the arena. You're not even playing the game. You're outside in the parking lot. Once you start getting criticism, hey, maybe I'm in the nosebleeds, a little more criticism. You're like, okay, maybe I'm courtside right now. And eventually, once you see, I mean, the pressure and the conversations around even just Wait For Me, you're like, oh, I'm on the court right now. This is crazy. I'm in the real game. I'm working with really big artists. I got major labels involved. The criticism has to happen, man.
100%. I had a meme account made of me when I was younger. I was pretty fucking pumped about it, to be honest. I'm like, damn, this is good. This is good shit. I hope it's good or bad. So COVID happened, right? I mean, you probably miss performing. You probably miss performing a lot, like a lot of people do right now. But it did affect your studio sessions, how you operated, just how you moved on a day-to-day basis. Maybe go into detail on that.
Yeah, I mean, of course. The one thing that, look, I'm glad that, you know, I'm doing all these media runs right now. We're doing them all on Zoom, and it's cool. Like, I think it's amazing that you and I get to have these conversations, but if we were in person, the vibe would just be so much different.
Oh, the vibe would be great, man. I would love that.
Be so much different. And even when I look at my studio sessions for the album, even like all the features, like I'll fly out to get in the studio with you. For me, I need to tell you the story. I need to tell you the concept of the album. I need to play you four or five other records on the album so you know where I'm going before we even start our session. We need to have a almost like a venting therapy session before we write any music.
100%.
In person is just how I've made my best records. And when we're on FaceTime, I mean, we can make it work. Worse, if we're on email, it gets a little finicky.
Yeah,
I think creatively it's been a huge struggle. Thankfully, the majority of my songs kind of came before this.
100%. Yeah, like there's even just having a conversation, like even in life in general, you even can FaceTime your friends right now, and it's kind of a weird vibe. It's not the same shit, but if you're kicking it, having a drink or a coffee, it's like it's a different feeling. It's weird not seeing people, you know, right? Like probably can't see a lot of people right now.
I never want to, you know, complain because I feel like I'm in a really awesome position where I'm not financially hurting. I get to kind of do my own thing on my own terms. I make it work. So I really don't want to complain about it because some people are like seriously like eviction, incredible stress. The two things that I worry about, I don't worry about anything personally regarding COVID, but when I look at, like, I have one grandparent that's alive right now. And I before this pandemic, I thought about my grandma every day, how she was getting older and she was looking older every time I call. And now with this pandemic, I think about her every single day and it worries me because that's a serious health concern. I'm not worried about really my health with this as much, but I think about my grandma all the time. And for young people that maybe aren't in this position, there's a mental health crisis going on right now. If there was before the pandemic, there's serious concern. So I'm more worried about other people. I want us to get through this. I hope top of 2021, we could reset and everyone could be stronger. But this has been just a bizarre year. And I'll tell you something, like, this is the first time I ever said this. Wait For Me was supposed to come out mid-March.
Yeah.
And we had radio promo run. We were going to set up shows for it. Mm-hmm. And as soon as kind of the pandemic hit, label called and they said, hey, like, we're not too sure about what's going on, but let's postpone it by like a month because I'm sure it's going to go away. Like, we thought at the time in March that, hey, I'm sure everything's going to go back to normal come April. And then it's April. And then it's May. And then it's June. And then we drop in July and nothing's really changed. So it's I mean, no one could have predicted this, man, but I hope people are staying strong. I hope we could come out stronger. That's like the only option, man.
It's a reality check. It really is. Like, that you can't control anything and you got to hold the people you love. Like your grandma, you said everything. Like, the same shit happened to me, man. As soon as that happened, like, you know, like, you don't forget about people you love, right? But as soon as this happens, you're like, oh, fuck. Like, my grandparents, like, you got to call them. You got to check up. You got to, you know, you got to check on this person, and you got to make sure everyone's okay. And you got to be a real good family, like a member of the family. You got to be a good friend. You got to really, and you got to take care of yourself too. It's a weird thing. Cause you got to take care of everyone around you and you got to really work on your mental health. Cause if you're stuck inside the whole, you're alone.
It's a reminder that, like, we're all human and everyone passes away at some time, and the people that you care about, you better check in with them. And that's like another thing. Like, the reason I'm not necessarily all over social media anymore, and I took 2 years away from that.
Yep.
You know, I didn't sit in like a basement for 2 years and just did nothing. No, I was like, I was whether I was working or I was like really caring about like my private life, like making sure that I am close with my family, making sure that I have real friends around me, making sure that I have a great team around me, like, caring about your private life and building a real foundation that matters is important. And this all reminded us of that, you know. Just even thinking about, like, I talked about my grandparents. I remember just seeing like my parents. I haven't seen them in a while. I'll FaceTime them. I'm like, my parents are like looking a little older.
That's and weird.
That's a reminder that we need that kind of reminder, because we get so selfish, so ego driven, where it's like, it's about me, my single's dropping, what's going on? But then it's like, hey, like my dad's got very gray hair right now. Maybe I should check in on him. This is a real thing. Like, I wonder how my grandma's doing, because she can't have visitors right now. How's she holding up?
Yeah.
So I guess I could appreciate, if I'm looking for a positive in all this, that it takes me out of myself and all of my selfish, like, ego driven needs, and try to look at the people I care about, make sure they're okay. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's like the one benefit maybe that we could get out of this.
100%. Just working on, like I said, like, yeah, being better for your family and everything, and just not putting yourself first. I mean, yeah, no, it's weird looking at your parents, like, 'cause you're 25.
Yeah.
And I don't know how old your parents are, but it's weird looking at your brother. Do you have any brothers or siblings, or?
I have an older sister.
It's weird to see them grow up too. Like,
literally the last time I was in Winnipeg, I flew down for my sister's wedding. That was like the last time. And that's another thing. Like, one of the main reasons I kind of dipped for 2 years, like, I'd say yes to every show. When you're an upcoming artist, like, aside from like the big Vegas gigs and the big festivals, you say yes to everything. You say yes to every opportunity. And if you say no to opportunities, you're going to be in trouble. So I was saying yes to everything.
Yeah.
I don't care if it was a random show in Arizona that 200 people were going to, like, I'll fly down. Boom. I don't care if we're doing a show in Texas where I have 3 connecting flights. I'm not going to sleep. You say yes to every opportunity you can. And I was like going so fast, saying yes to everything. And then I look back, I'm like, I haven't seen my dog in 3 years. Like,
that's crazy.
I haven't like, you know, so you look back and
it's exhausting.
It's exhausting. And this reminded me, as much as I'm eager to get back on road, I'm eager to do shows again, and I miss touring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to let it consume me like I did before. I was so like green, so like wide eyed, where I'm like, yes, I'll say yes to everything. I'll do anything that my manager tells me. And now, we need balance, because, man, life's very short. COVID reminded us of this. A big thing, personally, aside from COVID smacking me in the face with the shortness of life, I was flying from Toronto to LA the day that Kobe passed. And that reminded me, hey, Peter, like,
yeah,
you got your head down with this album. You think you're a cool guy because you work with these guys. Life is short. I don't care how cool you think you are. You're looking at your grandparents, your parents. Guess what? Kobe was in great health.
Yeah.
So 2020 for me, if I'm looking for a positive, because I want to make this a dark podcast.
Yeah, it's all good.
If the positive you and I could take away from it is, you know what? There's a shortness of life. We need 100%. To kind of out of ourselves. The music's cool. The lifestyle I've been able to create is dope. But life is short, and the real relationships in my life are going to matter far more than, you know, even this album that I've been obsessed with, you know?
Yeah. You know what, man? And you're saying like, I don't want this to be a dark podcast, but you know what? Like, it's these conversations we're having are important, because it's a very huge theme in your album. It's just welcome home. You know, it's it seems like you've been doing a lot of soul searching, digging deeper, and it's man, it's important. I'm glad you did that, because at the age we're at, it's kind of funny. At the age we're at, a lot of people don't do it till later in life. Sometimes people go till 35, 40, and they're like, oh shit, I need to. So it's important early in life that you're thinking about these things, and the whole point of your album is the roots, right? And you're 25 years old and you didn't forget it. So it's important. It's a good thing. It's a good sign. And that's a huge positive.
The record from the start that just came out, the first line that we had written was, we got to learn how to love ourselves before we can love each other.
Yeah.
And that was literally the first bar on the song. First thing that was written in that session. I'm like, okay, we have a song.
Yeah.
And historically, you know, you turn on the radio, you hear a song about a standard breakup where you blame the person, or, you know, the standard rap song where it's like, I'm killing it, I got haters, I got a nice car, you know. But when I heard that, I was like, damn, we're going to write a song that takes responsibility for a relationship that ended. And that was like very like soul searching for me, because the 21-year-old Peter Takis would blame everything my ex did. My ex did this, my ex did this. But the 25-year-old that's writing this project said, wait, maybe I was to blame for that relationship. Maybe she was fine. Maybe I ruined that relationship. Maybe our relationship wasn't right from the start. Maybe we were never compatible from the start. So like, this is a very like introspective and kind of serious, you know, I mean, it's a pop album, but I try to really be a good storyteller on it. And I'm definitely been thinking about a lot as I get, you know, I'm not exaggerating when I say I have 100 demos and the album's gonna be 10 songs. I'm really thinking of like, I'm not going to throw out a song that's about nothing. And like the one thing that a lot of like artists send me demos and a lot, like every day I get like 5 SoundCloud links. And when there's like, nobody wants to hear a song about people hating on you. No one is going to relate to you about a song where you're super like flexing. Yeah. But people need to hear a story. You need to have a story to tell. I hear a lot of artists that send me links, or even like local artists where production's there. The production's there. Their industry quality, the mix and the master, industry quality. The even the voice tone, industry quality. I'm with you. The melodies, they're great. Yeah. But when there's no story to tell, it's just not going to connect with people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no relatability on the other side as a listener.
You need to have life experience. You need to have pain. You need to have a breakup. You need to have people saying crazy things about you to write a song like Wait For Me. You need to have heartbreak where you miss someone from your hometown and you write a song about it. But that's kind of the thing that I've realized also over the past few years is a lot of people can make good songs that sound really good, but not a lot of people could tell a fucking story that hits you, you know?
That's the thing, yeah. And that's what keeps you there as a fan, as a listener, and to know the person you listen to is a real person. Like he or she is someone like, oh, this person goes to real life. He's not on a pedestal above you. He's not looking down on you. He's not, you know what I mean? It's an important thing to tell. It's a really important thing to tell. Man, great interview so far. I'm glad I'm talking to you, man. I'm just listening. I'm just taking it all in, honestly. So, I mean, we've gone through pretty much everything here, but I do a thing called the quick six. I'm just going to ask you random ass questions. And just answer them as long as you want. Take as long as you want. What's your favorite artist right now?
I'd say like my favorite rapper is Lil Keed. He's an artist from Atlanta. He's a Young Thug's artist, amazing artist, super vibe, super fresh energy. And I'm like, I know this is gonna sound biased and people are gonna hate, but Goody's like my favorite songwriter right now. When I hear his records, like literally, if you go to my Spotify, he's one of the top artists I listen to. I'm just incredibly blown away with his ability to tell stories. But Lil Key's like hard. If you haven't listened to Lil Key,
I listened to a little bit, and I'll get into him. I've been on Lil Baby lately, but like Lil Baby's hard, but like it's just like something I just like to turn up to. That's the only thing I think of. Yeah, Lil Baby. That's it. Lil Baby and Wayne. Man, Wayne is the only person I could listen to for 20 years straight.
I go back to Kanye a lot.
Go back to Kanye still?
Yeah, I still go back to Kanye all the time.
Did you like his new shit? Like his newer stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, you can say that it's not My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, of course. You could say it's not Waits. But anything Kanye puts out, it's like, it's still the best of the best, whether it's production, whether it's his like, one-liners, and now he's trying to tell stories. Like, there's a songwriter on a lot of the Jesus Is King named Ant Clemens.
Which he's great.
I'm a really big fan of Ant Clemens. And I've been listening to a lot of his stuff recently, but I mean, Kanye's Kanye, man. I mean, aside from obviously the stuff that goes on outside of music, musically, there's no denial that My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is one of the most incredible albums ever. 808s and Heartbreaks changed music. I'm also a huge fan of like Big Sean.
Big Sean's last album is crazy.
I think all of
them, but yeah. Man, that Cypher was stupid, man. It's so good.
I love that, like, the Nipsey record, I thought was incredible. The reception's been awesome. He's, like, to me, he's, like, mature rap. Like, he didn't buy into, like, doing the young stuff. It's, like, I'll listen to Lil Keed. I'll listen to these young dudes, like, Nestle, Young Bands, all these, like, young guys. And it's cool. Like, it's a vibe when I'm in that mood. Sometimes I got to put on the Kendrick. Sometimes I got to put on Dark Fantasy. Sometimes I got to put on the new Big Sean. It just depends on the energy, man. That's like the one thing, like, we're music lovers. We're like real music lovers where a real music lover will never be like, that album's trash. That album's trash. It's like, no, all their albums fit a purpose. Like
they do.
It all of them fit a purpose. Once you're Kendrick, once you're Kanye, they're all great. Mm-hmm. It's just what vibe are you on that day? And like real music lovers are never going to call Legends albums trash, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I like to troll and like goof around and I say stupid shit to my friends. Like, that was garbage. That was trash. Bro, what the fuck? You know what I mean? But yeah, you're right. Like, they all serve a purpose because they're geniuses. It's an art piece.
On, you know? Depends.
You're right about Sean though. Like, Sean did Ass. That was his first record. Like, Ass. And then now he's doing records with Nipsey, like Deep Reverence and
Ass. And Marvin Gaye and Chardonnay. Did like My Last. I do it. Like, yeah. He was the mumble rap. Like, he was like the hype beat rapper. And he just kept growing. Like, you could hear his growth. And like, obviously, I make completely different music than Big Sean. I got to meet him a few times, which is dope. Hey. But his spiritual growth, his maturity you could hear in the music is what I like aspire to do. Like, I just want to be like a mature artist that's comfortable in my own skin. I don't got to flex on the songs. I got to tell stories. I'm going to be very open and honest. And like, I like aspire to have that kind of mentality that I think Big Sean, and also he'll dip for 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, yo, I'm working on this album, leave me alone. And I like respect that. That's the type of artist I want to be. And I've kind of like, I've kind of accepted that that's kind of the vibe I'm probably going to be on as I go.
That's important. That's important because you'll come with something fresh and you don't listen. Like, say if you did for 2 years, you don't have any outside influences necessarily. It's like, this is my body of work.
You know, that's like a really good point in terms of not being on social media. So something I used to do when I was fucking scrolling nonstop.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I'd follow a lot of other DJs and producers and songwriters that I was a fan of. And when I would go on Instagram before a session, I would say, oh shit, this guy's song is like on this chart. Oh shit, this guy's song's performing. And then subconsciously I go to the studio and I make just a fucking bootleg of what I just saw on Instagram.
Yeah, like, that's weird, eh?
If you see something on social media that's fire, you're gonna, whether it's on purpose or not on purpose, you're gonna steal a bit of that sauce. And then guess what? You just made a song that's a little worse than what's already out. And away from that, I was able, like a song like Wait For Me, that is a down tempo, guitar driven house record that's 114 beats per minute, which is unheard of.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
An alternative indie voice, which is goody. He didn't want any auto tune on his voice. He didn't want him to sound polished. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, let's put Tory on there to just like, that was, you can't make that song if you're looking at what's hot, because that song fits nothing of what's hot.
And it charted and did well.
It did well. And I feel like when people clicked it, they're like, oh, this is different. This is different. This isn't what I've heard for the past 3 years. And I think leaving social media allowed me to have the confidence to put two artists like that together, which, trust me, those two artists don't make sense on a record, especially not a pop dance record.
But they did when you put it together, though.
To convince Goody and say, hey, I know you're doing these down tempo like sad guitar records and these pop punk records, jump on this pop vibe. That's not easy unless it's hard. And when you're in the studio with Tory Lanez and you're like, hey, there's this, you know, Goody does these down tempo guitar songs, and I know you've been doing nothing but rap 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Trust the vibe. Like, it takes a lot of guts and it takes a lot of trust before you could present that to these type of artists.
And to that point too, what I really like about that too is I always did like, I dislike usually when someone take, like, say if you worked with Tory or Goody and you just catered to their sound, I like that you took their styles and meshed it to your sound. And that's something that I like about artists that I fuck with heavy. It's like, oh, this person technically is not usually on this type of track, but that's Peter, like that's Peter's sound.
I've been saying like the idea of like unlikely collaborations, and it's very challenging to do. And like, when it sounds cool to say I've done 100 records, but you know what's not cool about that? When you try to do an unlikely collaboration and it doesn't fucking work, which I've done, when you're trying to put artists together, sometimes it doesn't work.
100%.
Like, I have one demo that's probably never going to come out with like kind of like a legendary rapper, right? And actually, it might come out, but there's like a legendary rapper, someone that I've been a fan of for a long time, and I put him on with a country singer.
Oh, that's like, awesome. Literally.
But those are things like, will it work? I don't know, and we're still trying to figure it out. But like, that attempt is just exciting to me because it's so easy to make the same beat with the same. I know all the pop singers that'll jump on the record, and I know exactly how to market it. It's so much fresher to experiment, and guess what? 50% of the time, it's a flop. It doesn't work out. I ruined an opportunity. 50%, it becomes a record that's like, oh shit, you brought these two people together. That's
exactly,
you know?
And who's not going to click on that? Say if you had like, say like, I'm not even, I don't know the names there, when Chris Stapleton and like someone like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know, Project Pat, you know what I mean? That'd be like, you'd be like, what the fuck is happening? We got to hear this. So it's pretty cool. Next question, I guess, is most memorable performance.
I think probably like there's two. I have two answers. One that I always reference, I played main stage EDC Mexico City for more people than I could even see. And that was like the first moment I remember, like, I was doing so many shows. I was doing so many like Vegas shows, so many like little festivals, little shows, New York, LA, all this. And then I go to that. And once I left the state, I was like emotional, man. I shed a tear because that was the first time where I was like, I'm in the actual game. Yeah. That was like, because you can be coming up and even though maybe locally people are like, yo, he's in the game, this is crazy. When you're really in it, I still felt like I was on the sidelines. I still felt like I was like a couple rows over. I wasn't really in the game. Mm-hmm. And then once you play a festival like that and you're getting dapped up by legends and you're getting the respect and you're building fans out in a market like that, that was when I said, oh, I'm actually in the game. I might not be a starter. I might not be AD today, but you know what? I'm J.R. Smith on the Lakers right now. I'm chilling. I'm in the finals.
You got a ring. You got a ring.
I'm on the team. So that was the first time I was like, holy shit, I'm in the real game, the real music. Awesome. And then like just a memorable one, this I never posted. A year and a half ago, I got an offer to do a show in China.
And that's crazy.
I went down there for a week and that was just really, it was just like culture shock. It was surprising to experience that. Mm-hmm. It was very weird to play music out for people that didn't know any of my music. That was a really interesting, just cultural experience. Really cool people out there. Everyone was really kind. It was a fun week.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that was also like, I'm not gonna lie, that was one of the, when I came home, I was like, I gotta chill on shows for a bit because it was like literally 30 hours of flights either way. And like,
I get jet lag from 8.
It was a lot. That was the first time where I was like, you know what, when we're going to do a show, it's got to be purposeful. I'm not just going to say yes because it's a cool market. But that was super memorable. I mean, playing a show in China was strange.
Did you have like, okay, so this is just a stupid question. I'm fucking so scared of planes, man. Were you like, after a while, you just get used to traveling. Is it comfortable after a while just on a plane?
I mean, like, I'm pretty sure like one of my first like real flights was like my first show going to like Vegas. Like I was young from Winnipeg, but we didn't have vacations. I grew up like we weren't going on vacation ever.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So to fly, I mean, I was nervous at the start. I felt uncomfortable. The one thing that like is a superpower that I haven't been able to do, and I'm not, this sounds like this is such a stupid tangent, but the ability to sleep on a flight is a superpower for artists, and I haven't been able to do it. So
I've been trying to figure it out.
And like, you know, it's so crazy. I can't sleep on flights. And then like a manager will be like, yeah, just work on records on the flight. I'm like, man, I can't sleep and I can't get in a creative zone on this. So it's kind of just a dud, man. I try to listen to like an audiobook or a podcast and I try to make some use of it, but there's nothing.
I'm a sketch bag. I hear a fucking turbulence, rumble. I'm preparing. I'm praying a bit. I'm looking next to me like, I love you, mom. I love you, whoever I'm with. We're done.
You'll get used to it.
I hope so, man. I hope I take those flights, man. And when they all resume, man, it's crazy. Tea or coffee? Just a random.
I drink coffee every single day since I was probably 12 years old. A cup of black coffee.
Damn right. Black coffee is incredible.
That's it, man.
It hits. Apparently, it hits you faster. Like, it's like alcohol when you put the cream in.
I'm just ready to go every morning. Wake up, just turn on the coffee maker. It's like, you know, it's just routine at this point. But I've been drinking black coffees literally since I was like 12 years old. It's crazy that my parents like thought that was okay when I was like in grade 8, grade 9. I'm just like turning on the coffee machine, but it's a part of my routine, part of my day. That's about all the turning up I do right now.
Yeah, my parents were like that when I was like, I think 13, 14. And I was like, I'm tired, mom. Like, okay, just have some of this. I started drinking coffee then too, man. And you don't turn up anymore. You're saying that's all the turning up you do is coffee now?
Yeah, man. I've in the past like 3 years, I think I've like maybe drank like 3 times. And that was only because like we had a team celebration where like something would happen. Like we signed a new deal and everyone's excited. Everyone worked their ass off and I get on FaceTime and like, let's do it. Or like a major artist clears a record for the album where they're like, fuck, this took 6 months. Let's have some champagne or whatever. But for the most part, man, I'm just kind of, that's just not where I'm at exactly right now. And I think in terms of making the album, it's just like, I don't want to have any unforced errors. You know, some of these studio sessions with some of the artists, I've been like blessed. Like I worked my whole life to be invited to some of these sessions. I never want to be out of character. I never want to say something I wish I didn't. Like if I was at a point where, of course I'm in the studio with these guys. If I was at that point, maybe, you know, let's have some red wine. I love it. But when I worked my entire life and dreamt of being able to shake these people's hands, I want no unforced errors.
Keep like, it sharp. Yeah,
I gotta make an error because it was forced, let's go. But I'm not gonna have an unforced error on because I'm feeling anxious or nervous for some of those sessions.
100%. I respect that. Like I started, I was the nerves was the thing. So I started drinking before shows or like it's too sessions because of the nerves, right?
I mean, I used to justify it like when I first started touring when I was like 21 22. I was like, on this big stage, I don't deserve to be on this big stage. I'm drinking some Hennessy, give me my vodka and I'll do my show. But when you have a show every 3 days,
you can't do it. Exactly. Yeah, I think over time I've stopped like that when I perform and like not perform or like create art too. It's like
the next morning at 6 a.m or you have media before, it's like it was never logistically gonna work. I have nothing against it, man. I love red wine, and
red wine's the best, man.
I've nothing against it, and when the time is right, sure, I'll sip some red wine. But where I'm at right now, it's like I just, you know, my coffee's all I need right now.
Damn right, yeah. Red wine's some boss shit, by the way. I love red wine. That's the only way to go. City or country life?
I mean, I've only lived in like a city my whole life. I feel like it's definitely city. Definitely city.
Yeah, 100%. I figured when I asked, I was like, he's definitely gonna say city.
If I could like, if I'm at the point where I could like build like a dope studio in the country and artists can come to that spot, if I could like make an album
Wyoming,
exactly,
yeah,
that'd be like fresh, that'd be like some crazy shit. But I'm at the point where if the artist says they're gonna work with me, I gotta fly down, I gotta meet them.
True.
I can't be in the country, you know, I gotta be available.
Well, maybe when you get to that point, you know what I mean, you're at that level, you know what I mean, like you're like, hey, come fly to this place in the middle of nowhere. Wyoming's boss. That's some crazy shit. Come fly to Wyoming.
Should I build a compound in Selkirk to work on my next album? Unless there's Rocky, man.
That'd be crazy. Selkirk compound. It'd be fucking famous. I think I know this answer too. Are you introverted or a social person?
I'm definitely introverted. I'm definitely like introverted. I'm super private kind of about everything. I get forced to like post stuff online nowadays. I think when I was younger, because I was so eager to like, wanted people to like hear my songs and be like, I'm here. I was a lot more willing to be push it, but I'm like a private person, man. I just like to be by myself. No one needs to know my business. I hope they like my songs and feel like they know me through the songs or through these conversations, but you're never going to know me through Twitter, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It starts that way. I think a lot of artists start that way too. It's like, oh, I'm eager and I'm ready to go. Like I need to talk and connect. I need to build relationships and da da da. And if someone talks to me, I got to be like, hey, you know, thumbs up, smile, you know? And
you watch Gary V once and next thing you know, you're just like, yo, let's go 100 miles an hour, reply to everybody.
Let's go to garage sales. Let's go to garage sales.
You can't reply to everyone, man. It's not an option.
It's hard, man. It really is. I agree with you. Night or day?
I'd say for like studio sessions, night is where creativity kind of comes out. But when they're like for COVID, when there's been no sessions, I go to bed early, wake up early. But in terms of every great session I've ever had, it's been like after midnight. Every great song kind of has come from after midnight. So maybe that should tell me something.
I wonder if there's a science to that. If your brain just slowly stops giving a fuck after 12 or something. I don't know.
I think there's definitely the artists I've worked with, they're so used to doing shows at that hour. So maybe they have a little bit more of like a flow of creativity. Plus when you're talking about subjects, like whether it's, you're talking about partying, you're talking about breakups and you're talking about going out, or like, those are subjects that happen after 9 PM.
True.
So like when you're writing about stuff, I find like every artist I've worked with is thrives after midnight.
Damn right. Yeah, man, I agree with you on that. Speaking of that, I know that reminded me of that Goody song with Juicy J and G-Eazy. Nothing good happens after, what is it?
I love that record. I remember hearing that a while ago. Man, he's got an album coming out. I'm as excited for his album as I am for my own. And I'm telling you, man, I think he's one of the most incredible songwriters. He's so, you know, the one thing, like, I've been bigging up Goody nonstop because, like, just a legend, one of the coolest people ever. And I think as Manitobans, we should really be getting behind him on like a crazy level of things he's done.
100%. But
something that I've noticed is if I'm in LA or if I'm in a meeting in New York or whatever it is, I don't say where I'm from. Goody comes up casually in just music industry conversations, which is crazy. Mm. They don't know I'm from Manitoba. This is before Wait For Me dropped. Mm-hmm. This is before they knew I had a record with him, and he'll just come up because he's so respected right now in the industry. He's been a songwriter on big records that people aren't really familiar with.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Like, he's an incredible artist, man. And I think maybe I just haven't been home in a while and I don't know, but what he's done and the artists he's worked with and still keeping it so real with me and willing to do records with me kind of whenever, I really would hope if I was back at home that the city was really behind him. I don't know. I haven't been, but come on, man. Like, he's proved himself. There's nothing else he has to do. I really hope that the city's like 100%, yo, we got a guy that's in the game.
As a Transcona representative back in Manitoba, I could tell you guys that you guys are talked about a lot. With my friend, my big group of friends, we've talked about it before, you guys, and man, it's congratulations on everything. Congrats on everything. I'm glad we actually get to have this conversation. We've been talking for years online, but I'm glad we get to, I mean, it's in Zoom, but, and hopefully one day we can have it in person, man. Like, that'd be sick.
Thanks for having me. I think this is really cool that you're doing these pods and getting to know people. And hopefully this conversation was interesting for people and they could get to know me a bit better. And anytime you need me, man, you reached out a while ago, we scheduled it and I'll be back again.
Thanks, bro. I learned a lot from this conversation. I just wanted to also, like, I wanted to learn. I wanted to just talk to you about this because like I said, you're from the city. You're up in the game right now. I'm taking notes right now. So I'm doing my whole, like, at the end, plug everything you got going on, Peter. Tell everyone what's going on.
I mean, I have a song called Wait For Me that came out recently with Goody Grace and Tory Lanez that I'm really excited about. The new single, From the Start, featuring Veronica, is out right now. And man, my album's on the way. I hope you rock with it. If you don't, maybe the next song you'll like a little bit more. But yeah, man, that's really it.
Everyone go stream Peter Takis' music. It's Takis, though. It's Takis online, Spotify. Yeah. Okay, there, man. Peace out. Take care. I appreciate all this. Stay healthy. Congrats on everything again. I'm looking forward to the album.
Thank you.
Peace.